All right. It is October 2nd, 2025. I'm going to call to order the Police Civilian Oversight Board Engagement Subcommittee. Community Engagement Subcommittee. Welcome to our virtual meeting. We're going to cover a few basic items for beginning. If you lose connection at any point during the meeting, you can reconnect by clicking the link or calling the number in your original emails. To the members and city staff, members, if you are able, please activate your video for purposes of quorum and keep it on for the duration of the meeting. Staff, if you are able, please activate your video when you are speaking. The chair and committee staff are responsible for muting and unmuting committee members. Members can rename themselves if they wish to add the pronouns after your name. Use the raise hand feature when you'd like to be recognized to speak, ask questions, or request a roll call vote. During any roll call, all participants will be unmuted briefly. Staff, click raise hand when you are asked a question. The chair will do their best to call on committee members in the order in which hands are raised. Lowering your hands will take you out of the queue. Members of the public who have registered to speak, do we have any public comment tonight?
Oh, my apology. I didn't send that to you. We have Amelia registered just to answer questions, but not to speak.
Sounds good. Thank you.
I'll send that report to you right now. Sorry about that.
Nope, all good. All right. I'm going to ask for a roll call of attendance.
Devin Snyder.
Present.
Rodney Saunders Jr.
Present.
Vanessa Stidham. Michelle Miller.
Present.
With three present, we have quorum.
Good. In a virtual meeting like this, it's particularly important that we carefully follow Robert's rule of order. Therefore, please do not speak until you have raised your hand and been recognized by the chair. The chair will ask for a motion and a second for each agenda item unless it is noticed for discussion only. Any member wishing to join the debate or move an amendment will also have to raise their hand and be recognized by the chair. Similarly, if you have some other matter to bring to the attention of the chair, such as point of order or request for information, please use the hand function. And as Robin mentioned, we have Amelia for questions, and that'll be during agenda item number four, when we're talking about the coordination of community listening sessions. All right. All right. So could I get a motion to approve the minutes from July 11, 2025's meeting? Michelle?
I hate to be this person, but I don't think I received a copy of the minutes, so I can't, like, I don't feel comfortable moving or voting on it. I don't know if they could be, like, emailed or reported on quickly, and then we can...
Yeah, hey everyone, sorry, Chioma had to call out sick today. I didn't realize that she hadn't sent that already, so, yeah, I'll send that out. If you want to table it to the next one, we can.
All right, we'll table it to the next and get a next subcommittee meeting.
Sorry, that'll still require a motion, though.
Oh, sorry. Can I have a motion? Michelle?
I move to table agenda item one to the next community engagement subcommittee meeting.
Sounds good. Do I have a second? Rodney?
I'll second the motion to table the passing of the minutes.
All right, thank you. If there is not, obviously it's unanimous. I can't talk, sorry, today. So the motion is approved. The motion is approved to table that to the next subcommittee meeting. Are there any disclosures or recusals right now? All right. All right. So next on the agenda is number two, creation and selection of the PCOB logo and branding. I know at the PCOB board, Maya had presented some logos that she designed that she thought that the PCOB could adapt, and she wanted this subcommittee to kind of go over that and kind of figure out what we would like to do with that branding. And then, as well as we do have Dylan Brogan here as well to answer. I know he had some email communications, and he's going to be able, he's on the other agenda item, but he also made some comments about the logo and branding. So I also want his input before we try to make a decision also. Because I don't know the actual rules and laws. And when I saw your email, I was like, oh, I didn't know there was an actual thing. So Dylan.
Yeah, and please feel free to interrupt at anytime. So I actually have just something to share if you don't mind if I have my screen here.
Robin, can you make them the co-hosts to so you could share your screen?
The long answer is or the short answer is that we have a lot, the city of Madison has a lot of agencies and a lot of committees, right? And that it is definitely confusing to the public in terms of keeping the same identity. So, I mean, I think you can see my screen now. Oh, sorry. Does everyone can see that? All those logos there?
Yep.
All right. So out of these nine, how many are, and we don't have to play my game here, but basically we get confused all the time with every one of these agencies that like the Madison School District thinks the city is part of city government, the Madison Sewerage District, obviously the City of Madison Independent Police Monitor, that is part of city government, Madison College, MGE, Madison Community Foundations. These have nothing to do with the city of Madison. We have no control over these entities. And this is a problem that comes up all the time in terms of just, I think one way we can overcome this is by having consistent branding. And that means, and it really started with my position, really trying to encourage everyone to start using what is official. And so we have the city flag, obviously. We have every agency, like the Independent Monitor, has their own logo. And then we have the City of Madison word mark that has City of Madison, City of Madison, Wisconsin, also slight variations of it. There's ways to do it with different colors. But the reason why I think this is so important is that all communications coming from the PCOB, you guys are sanctioned by ordinance by the City of Madison government, and that means something. So I think it's really important that we are incorporating any branding that where you guys are recognized as the City of Madison, and I think that means really using the logos that we already have here. No board, commission, or committee has their own like designated logo. And we do have some legacy logos like the Madison Fire Department, the water utility that are not consistent currently, but we are going to start moving towards a direction where everything is going to start being consistent in terms of using this a consistent logo and stuff. Mainly just so it's clear to the public that we're the City of Madison, we're not MGE, we're not the Madison School District. And I think particularly because the PCOB is relatively new to city government, this is really important for you guys to start using, and that in all your documentation, really putting the City of Madison logo here and using our word mark and everything, that brings the full credibility of city government over to them. So I think that would be my recommendation. We run into a lot of problems if you guys are doing something ad hoc. So I'd be happy to take any questions too. Just why I have you. We have a branding guide that has official colors, and we're actually going through and adding some more. And this is supposed to be used, and we're pretty good about being consistent about it, is in all our documentation and on the city website. This is particularly important for accessibility features. And there's a lot of things that you wouldn't think about, but having a dark color and a different colored font, and that can make it very hard when we're talking about accessibility and how people are using the website. So that's why we have official colors here. We have official fonts that are supposed to be used and all that. And all of this is to try to keep our stuff consistent.
Sounds good. I
Rodney.
see Rodney has his hand up.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, Dylan, for sharing this information. I'll try to keep my question short. I'm pretty familiar with the need for, consistency and brand and all that good stuff working for the state. And in my state capacity, I've seen some instances where I work for the DOT. Just as one example, we use the DOT logo with one of our committees, and we make sure that we always use that logo in conjunction with any specific committee logo. Is that a possibility here, where anytime if we were to pursue this PCOB logo, that we could just use the city seal or whatever next to that as an option? I'm not partial either direction. I totally, like I said, get the need for that consistency, but just trying to throw that out to play devil's advocate here.
Well, here's my hesitancy is that we already have too many things that are different and we're trying to get back to that. So anything different, I think we can certainly talk about how IT can prepare like we have with the independent monitor logo where it has the police civilian oversight board under it and make that part of it. And there's other treatments that we can do. So I think if we can I can get the process started with IT to present you with those options. So at least that's on the table. But any kind of adopting of this by a committee is just not something that has been done before. And I would have a lot of hesitancy moving forward like that because, one committee does something and then another one does it. And I just think I have my own personal styles and tastes, and maybe I would have designed the City of Madison logo differently if I was part of that process 15 years ago. But it is what it is, and I think it's not bad in that we just visually are really trying to get back to being one city here. And particularly for the Police Civilian Oversight Board, I really think it's important that. These logos are important. I don't want these aren't small trivial things. I think having the city logo on there and using the official treatment and branding stuff is what is part of what makes your work legitimate in a visual way to the public.
No, I hear you, and I've had similar conversations with our
But yes, I
office.
after this meeting, I'm going to have IT and they've the it It's a little unusual, and I would say even them, they're like, well, we really don't want to start doing this for every committee. But I think we can find a compromise here where, we're following all of the guidelines, but there is something that is very specific to the Police Civilian Oversight Board, similar to like what we did with the Independent Police Monitor logo.
I appreciate that. Does anyone have any additional comments about that? Or, based off of what Dylan just stated, do we feel comfortable kind of going with that compromise and going with the logo that's kind of like the OIM, like how we have that? Or, I guess, what's your guys' thoughts on this? Michelle?
I recall the did you mention that Maya like drafted some logos or some did you mention someone did that?
Yeah, Maya did, and she presented. Robin, do you happen to have that?
I want to be really clear here. Like it is against our administrative procedure memos for I mean, you guys can adopt a logo, but you're not really supposed to be using it then on any of your documentation, which sort of defeats the purpose of it.
I was curious if the logo options Maya drafted incorporate what you just presented.
I
That I don't
don't
recall.
have it available, but I know that it does not. Most of the logos were like kind of shaped like a cross to more emulate the state flag or the city flag, I mean.
That's what I just wanted to clarify if any of that was like aligned with what you presented. In that case, I don't think we have many other options than to go with what's presented.
Okay, well, I'll get that. I'll get that going so you have all that too. And I think, and I'll send over all the other materials too. I know Chioma is really good about just communicating and just being working with me on a bunch of other things. So like I we can definitely we can definitely I can talk to the full committee if that's necessary. I mean, I hate coming here and saying like you're not allowed to do that, but it's a slight gray area, but I think there are some compelling reasons why
Yeah. And I think it makes
CLB or
sense.
any other committee shouldn't be adopting their own logo and stuff.
No, I appreciate it. And I think it makes sense. So, yeah, if you could send over that material, and
Sure.
then, yeah, if you could give us those examples of, what IT might be able to compromise. And
Yeah.
then we could bring that either we can, table that and we as a subcommittee could talk about this at the next meeting, or we can talk it at the PCOB meeting. But I obviously will connect with Maya because I know this was kind of Maya's wanting to adapt, our own logo. So I
Yeah.
kind of also want to know her thoughts. But I
And
think.
I think she'll appreciate this too, just because the school district, they did it. But it would look a lot like this police civil or this independent monitor logo. And also, we could do another one where it's like the watermark here, and then it would say, police civilian oversight board next to it, kind of thing. So I will, hey, I'll get that started with IT, and I'll also just share that. What's the best way? Can I just email that to Robin or Chioma to get that over to everyone?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey Dylan, can you email it to me? Copy Chioma, but make
Yep.
sure to include me because she's out sick right now.
Okay, sounds good. And I'll include you on all the IT ticket on that too.
Appreciate it.
Robin, since the agenda said creation selection of the logo, and we are not technically doing that right now, do we need to make a motion to table it until?
I don't believe you need to make a motion. Like,
Okay.
I think you can just move on to the next item.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, it's basically like if anybody on the board wanted to make a motion, like at the last minute, then you couldn't move on. But yeah, no, if you're all done with the discussion and everything and you don't want to make a motion, you don't have to make a motion.
Sounds good. Thank you, Robin. Moving on to agenda item number three, PCOB social media presence questions for PIO Dylan Brogan. So, we as a subcommittee, as well as a board, have just general questions of, how we can, engage the community. How can we like social media presence? And so, we kind of wanted to have this like open discussion where people can ask questions because. We know in today's technology, everyone uses Facebook, everyone uses social media, and so we just want to make sure kind of know the rules of the law, what we can do, what we can't do,
Sure.
and kind of that so that we know as a board, how we could effectively, communicate things to the city.
Great. Happy to answer questions too. And I'm doing a lot of heavy lifting for IT here too. But we have the city's Facebook page has like 21,000 followers. The X page has 42,000, almost 43, and our Instagram has 7,000. And I would say each of those are we're using in slightly different ways. And I think what ends up happening is, and it's a bigger discussion about social media, is that social media in a lot of contexts is rewards outrage and creativity and content generation in a way that most of our city agencies are unable to do or even want to do. And that the most effective thing that we do see in social media is when we want to engage with the public and there's something for them to do, like coming to your community outreach events. That's like a really one of the best ways in which we see like good response on social media that does seem to have like a tangible effect. And so right now and we're moving to a much better process. Any the you know this any staff with the independent monitor's office can submit submit what needs to go on the main city Facebook page with the link, and there's definitely some guidelines that we have about what happens after that. But basically, just send it to me and someone, Dan, who's a clerk who is helping a lot with just like making sure we're timely getting things up. And so right now that's sort of our in between, but we are mere weeks away from implementing this new thing where Chioma would have something called Agora Pulse access to this. And that was, or any staffer where they would be, and it looks like this, they would be writing a post, putting the Facebook, it all goes through here, and they basically submit it with the time that they want it loaded. This would work for right now. I have all the city social media right now, but this would be on the end that your staffers would see. It would be the main city accounts, which are our largest, and they submit it, and we me or Dan are proofreading it and just making sure the link works and making sure there's a double set of eyes on it and just getting it up when like you can schedule it for a week from now. You can do three in a row. You can do it a couple of times. And this is like the system we're moving to consolidate our social media presence, because what we're finding is it's very difficult for a particular agency, really. Beside, I mean, police and fire are the only exceptions, and they had Facebook pages before anyone else, before the city did. Are the Everyone else is struggling. So like planning and parking and there are a few exceptions, but by and large, a city agency, like, they want to be using the main city channels because that's where the audience already is. And so that's the kind of option that any agency has, and the PCOB has, to get things on social media and that already have a built-in wide audience. So at this point, it's we're doing it by email, but it's on my list to incorporate the independent monitor staff in like the new approval process that's should be ready to go in about a couple of weeks here.
But what I'm hearing, it's kind of frowned upon to have your own like social media, and everything should be going through the cities.
Well, what's happened is that we have a lot of agencies that, to really get the following, you have to be posting every day. And so we've run with this with the clerk's office and HR and all these agencies where they have important things to share, but they're not doing three or four posts a day. And so they end up having their reach becomes nothing, right? And eventually it just gets abandoned. And so that's what I worry about and why IT is frowning upon it, because we're paying to have these like tools for each account, but we're not even posting. Like, even the Common Council, who has 20 alders who could be submitting content, like they don't have any reach because they're not regularly posting. And so that's why like we just have a more we're going the opposite way. It's a little bit like the logos. We're going to one city account that everyone is using, and there's an easy process to do it so that it reaches the widest audience.
I have another question. So, if we were having like a community listening session, would we as board members be able to share that without essentially saying, like, essentially share that event on our own personal Facebook without essentially addressing that we are the board, but we're just like sharing an event? Because a lot of us do have a social media following. We are active within the community, but I just don't know the rules of engagement. And if we members of the board could, share that to our friends on our own social media.
And I believe you're already putting stuff on the city website, which is really important, and using the email list is part of that too. Like, you can create an event on the city's website, and then it's on the main page, and you can see that there. So that is something that should be built into the process where, yes, you take that link and then you can absolutely share it, and that's totally fine. It gets a little bit complicated with elected officials, because elected officials are technically they're not allowed to delete anything that has a comment on it. And that's another thing about all official government social media accounts. You cannot delete any comment. And once something has been posted, if it has a comment, it's a long process to archive it so that we're complying with open records laws. So Even so, yes, I hope that answered the question. You're allowed, you as PCOB members have no restrictions. You have the right to free speech like everybody else. And so there's no restrictions on what you can do. And you can certainly share anything from the city's website on your own personal accounts. In fact, I would, that's a good way to, in terms of the algorithms, into sharing that information.
No, thank you, Dylan. Do any other subcommittee members have any questions for Dylan regarding social media presence or, Michelle?
Is it possible to like turn off comments for government like social
That is
media?
a very gray legal area that the police department right now is experimenting with. The answer is probably, but you can never have a post that has comments on it. And right now they're running into a real technical problem because they can't do it through these like posting scheduling tools that, make it easy. They have to manually go in and turn off the comments on every single post. So I am keeping tabs on it, and they've been doing a pretty good job. But if like the police departments, if they just, and remember, this is like a proactive thing they have to do. If they just forget, and they're doing it, forgetting once or twice a week, then we have to stop doing that. They have to allow comments. But right now, they don't want to do allow comments. And I don't mean to expand the topic too much too, but I don't know if you're watching the Madison Police Department page, but there's a lot I'm not thrilled about how they're using social media right now. And I feel like our role as government is not necessarily to be fun content creators. There's a place for that maybe, but Madison Police Department has a following on social media. It isn't because they're producing like fun Nicki Minaj dance videos. It's because something crazy happens and people need to know what's going on, right? And we see that in these spikes. When we had that school shooting, they gained like 8,000 followers in one day because people wanted to know what was going on. So I'm trying to move things where we don't have, here's our fun dance video with MPD officers. Not that there's necessarily anything wrong with that, but then it's like, and then there's a critical piece of information that people just need to know about, right? And so that's the sort of direction that, and it's a long-term process where I'm trying to, where we're going to be focused on being alert oriented, where we're not confusing, fun content that maybe would be okay on Instagram with like critical information that the community needs to know about.
Thanks.
And so, and then we have things like the outreach and the community engagement sessions, which is really important that people know about too. And also, there should be channels, and I want the whole city to be working together because there's a lot of things the clerk's office doing about voter outreach and things that the library is doing that I think really people who are engaged want to know about. And that would all help not only populate the content, but it would be similar enough where people who are engaged would, more likely to see, oh, hey, there's a community listening session about this that I should attend. So that's the direction I'm trying to move the whole operation in. And the independent monitor should be a part of that.
This isn't really a question, just kind of like a thought. I totally understand like the logic behind all of that, and knowing that the PCOB is like intentionally supposed to be like independent of the city, I think it would make sense for the PCOB to have its own social media. However, I don't know logistically or like realistically if we have someone on the board who could post regularly enough to build and sustain a following. So those are just general thoughts.
Thank you for that, Michelle. Robin?
I just want to jump in here. I don't think it would be appropriate if there's a border commission social media page for one of the commissioner or sorry, one of the board members to be doing it just due to the record retention and open records laws that Dylan mentioned earlier. Basically, like we would need to, then be doing it through a device that's connected to the archival, software that we're paying for. Do I have that correct, Dylan? Like, please feel free to correct me if I'm
Yeah,
wrong.
there are a lot of things you wouldn't think about that make it technically complicated and just have to go through the city's IT department. And they would if I think you like okay, so the community outreach team and everything like that, I think people you can start your own group of people who are interested in police oversight, and it doesn't necessarily have to be connected to the city. And I think that I don't that gets us in a gray area too, but there I think we need to just separate out that there is like an official government aspect of this, and then there's like real community groups who could be sort of serving the function that you want. But I understand the independence part of it, and that is important. There's just a couple of things. A, I think then you have to build an audience, and I think it's going to be very difficult to do that from scratch if it's not. I mean, that could be somebody's full-time job if they were really doing it right. And secondly, part of I'm a civil servant, and part of my commitment is that we're following a general set of rules, but we're also not letting political figures like the mayor and the council necessarily decide like what can be posted on social media or not, because we need to have like your city agency, your city committee, and we should have consistent rules that aren't just like willy-nilly in that regard, right? But it's not a political choice what we communicate. And that comes with some restrictions, but it also comes with the reassurance that, none of it is being censored.
So for the current social media sites that are separate from the police department social media site, how does that follow the like records laws? Like, do they go through I maybe I'm like not understanding
It's
the
going all, it
question.
all gets set up through IT.
Okay. So they have like a separate account, but it goes through IT.
Yes. And right now I'm trying, right? We have like 38 social media accounts because there was a good 5 year, 6 year period in the mid 2010s when it was just approving all these new accounts. And we have essentially abandoned half of them and we're in the process of archiving them. And then we have another group that wants to be part of the main city channels because they don't have a huge following. And then we have very specific ones that, frankly, MPD and the fire department are the two main ones in the in parks that just are like, well, we have this following and we have this audience and we want to give it up and we don't want to give them up. And they have some reasons for why that is. But in general, like I want to be moving towards like we should have one Twitter account and one thing. And I think like the police department may if they're not using their X account and they're not or in their Twitter account or if we only have one Reddit account, right? I think we're not approving anymore. And so I think that's just sort of how it has to be because it is just right now we are spinning our wheels and just not getting any traction at all on more than half of our city media accounts. And like the police department too, I think they have to pick a lane here. Like, are they going to be the ones who tell critical information or are they going to post like fun videos? Because I think that is, and that's a serious conversation that I need to have at some point, and we're getting there,
Thank you.
I had a question, Dylan. So that new portal that you guys are going to implement, when a posting is posted, is it does it say like what group that's from?
It'll say who is doing that and when they want it posted. And then, and mainly the approval process is just so we don't have things overlapping each other, right? And so that everyone can see the schedule and stuff. But, we just went through a test phase with it with a couple agencies, and it's been going really well. And we're literally like when they're submitted during the day, I mean, they literally get approved within the hour, and they're scheduled and ready to go, and I do take the point seriously, and I think there's a case to be made about, the independent monitor's office having its own social media presence. I also think that's is more of a commitment than maybe one would let on because I mean, you could be posting stuff all day, and if nobody sees it, It's just these are hard decisions that we're trying to make, and I think again, going back to we're all one city here, and I don't like that these different agencies are, you know, off on their own and have all siloed off. And I think we waste a lot of time and energy reaching people that way, and it's confusing to the public.
No, thank you, Dylan. That makes sense. Is there any other questions or discussion regarding what Dylan has presented and what we have discussed so far? Yeah, it seems like we as a board need to make a decision on kind of if we want to use that new platform that Dylan's talking about. Or, continue posting on the Madison website or, using your own social media to post, but it just appears obviously it's not attainable to have our own social media independent one as much as we want to because we as board members are not allowed essentially to be able to manage that. And who would manage that for us? And so, yeah, I think we'll have to have a further discussion with the board to kind of figure out what we as the board want to do going forward. And but it just kind of seems like this is very, I like this information, Dylan. So thank you. Because I did not know this. And this is why I wanted you here because I wanted us to have a space so we can ask questions, understand what we can and cannot do, and kind of and got to learn what you guys are working on. Michelle, I see your hand up.
If that's the route we take and then like discuss it at like the full board meeting, I think it would be important then that the board develop some kind of like procedure about like posts from the board that are posted like from the independent monitor social media site, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Everything goes back to the website too. Like, there's a lot of power in that. There's a lot of people. Our email lists, we are incredibly effective. Like, when you look at the read rates on our email lists, like, I just know from a past, way back when, that, like, if you know, if you're doing one of these newsletters, if you had a 20% read rate, that's like awesome. And regularly, all of our city email lists are like in the 60, 70, 80% range. So people, the web, everything going back to the website makes things easier. The independent monitor's office has full control over it. They're creating an event. Every one of your events should be on there so people can see it on the main city website too. It works really well together. And I think the social media part is like what we do afterwards, right? So you start with the website and then you kind of distribute it widely on those city channels. And I would be happy to work with staff and really trying to make that as seamless as and as simple as possible.
Thank you. Is there any other questions or discussion while Dylan's still here? All right. Well, thank you again, Dylan. Like I said, I really appreciate your time and you coming to the subcommittee to present to us.
And I'd be happy to talk again. And if there's anything that you have any ideas, I mean, we can certainly like willing to, you know, hear a case and work with the subcommittee and the rest of the committee to just do what's best for getting out information and best. So I don't hate coming here and just being a big bummer, but I promise there's a lot of room to work here where I think everyone's goals will be achieved. So.
No, thanks. All right. See ya. All right. Moving on to the last agenda item number four, scheduling and coordination of the next community listening session. So I know, oh, Michelle.
Sorry, my computer's about to die. And I'm joining with my phone. I just don't want to lose quorum.
Okay.
If Robin, could you let me in, please? Thank you.
Okay, she's on. Just making sure. So originally we were planning, the resource fair that we wanted to do with the organizations, but obviously that kind of fell through. And so I've been kind of coordinating with myself, with the community response team, with Amelia, of trying to co-host an event between the PCOB, the OIM, and the CRT. And we decided that we're going to have an event on October 22nd from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Wilmar Center. And what we really want this to be is, a conversation with the OIM and the PCOB where, the community can learn about what we do, where the community can, bring any questions or concerns. And then also refreshments will be provided. And I know that Amelia, once we have everything finalized, Amelia is going to, has already been starting making drafts of the flyers. So we have that, but I just wanted to have some event for, the year before the end of the year, just because we didn't get to have one. So we have that planned for October 22nd. And I do have Amelia here. She can't make public comment, but if you have any questions for her, she can answer those. So the Michelle.
Anything that we like can do as a subcommittee to, or like anything I could do to help with this besides like share it on social media and whatnot.
Amelia, how can we help you help us?
Thank you so much for having this meeting and for offering to co-host this meet and greet. I think what would be helpful, there are a few things right now. It would be great to know who from the Office of the Independent Monitor and the PCOB are for sure going to be there, because I'm just adding some photos to of members to the flyer. And so that would be helpful ASAP. And really, if we just have four, I know it sounds like Greg's going to be there and Devin's going to be there. Whoever else is going to be there, I'll add as many photographs as we need. But I'd like to perhaps get commitments at the very latest by tomorrow night so I can get this posted this weekend, if that's possible. The other thing I was wondering that might be kind of helpful is, if we could just, and Devin, I imagine we were going to be doing this anyway, but just discuss sort of the structured part of the agenda. Like what has typically happened in the past, I think, is there's a discussion about, everybody has brief introductions, and then just get kind of the obvious answers out of the way. As per the ordinance and job descriptions, what do the PCOB, IM, and data analyst actually do? What don't they do that other investigative bodies do to kind of help people, navigate that? Because I think people get confused about that. What are the PCOB committees? How to file a complaint? Realistic expectations in terms of waiting time and outcomes, because I think people think when they turn in a complaint that they will get a result pretty quick, and that's obviously not realistic. And then how to attend a meeting. So those are the subjects that I came up with, and I really think those can be super brief. And one way in which those can be brief and we can have more time for discussion, I think, is if we assign, once we know who's coming to the meeting, we assign those little blips to different people. So I can send this to you and you can add, Devin, if you want to add things to it, and then decide like who within PCOB and OIM wants to answer these particular questions. And then I think 3 to 5 minutes max for each one would be totally reasonable. Because some of the bullets here are going to just be like, what are the PCOB committees? What do they do? I think this it can be relatively concise for those. And so everybody give a little blip on those particular bullets and whatever you add to the list, and then we open it up for questions and answers and discussion. What I don't have on here on this little in my notes are ground rules, like just making sure that people who do attend, everybody's communicating with one another respectfully. And I you know, it's always kind of a crapshoot as to whether that happens, because some people come in distress, and after being ignored and pushed away for so long, so they imagine this group or these meetings are, they will get answers at them for whatever is troubling them. So, and sometimes they can be really, it can get, people are frustrated, or people just are absolutely against oversight of the police, by anyone that isn't a police officer. So those folks can also get a little bit of, aggressive at times. So if we want to also just kind of touch base on ground rules, to keep this a safe and respectful event, so everybody feels good about that, and then we have the refreshments covered. We're going to probably have just big trays of different types of finger foods, and I think we'll have water. I'm not really sure if there'll be much else for beverages. We'll see, maybe lemonade or something. So that's as far as I've gotten, but as soon as I know who should be put on the graphic, then I'll have that ready to go, and we'll put posters up. And if you guys also want to help by putting posters up, I will add to the graphic, I need to write this down, the different bus lines that go to Wilmar. And then I'm also wondering, do we want to stream this so that people can chime in from their homes?
Greg, I see your hand up.
Definitely want to stream.
Okay. And do we want to be able to answer, like, for people who are streaming, do we want to have a designated person that can field their questions?
Right, because I feel like if we are screening, we need like a moderator if someone is asking questions, virtually and not there in real time.
Okay.
Robin?
Yeah, sorry, just to clarify, like, how would we be streaming? Are we doing this through Zoom?
That's a great question. What do we want to use? Is it, we could use Zoom, we could use FaceTime. Is that right? No, we can't use FaceTime. Seems like Zoom would be, or what, Teams? Is that another way to do it?
The city does have a Teams account.
Well,
I don't know if we would be able to record through Teams. Like, are we recording this like as like a meeting of the board, or is this just like a event of CRTs?
That's a good question. The last time we've had public meetings where City Channel was there, there were a number of city employees there, and it was a giant public meeting. So what are our options? It seems like Zoom is probably the most commonly used, and it's used by the city. So maybe we should go with that if we're going to be streaming.
I've run like in the community listening sessions in the past, I ran them all with Zoom. There was some like ones early on when I started that I did like entirely in person. And we just had to do a public notice for that. But, with the Zoom ones, it was as easy as, posting a public notice of possible quorum and then just running the whole thing through Zoom. But I know that there is city like IT materials that we can use to like have a hybrid meeting. So I can check with IT on that.
Okay, that would be great. So you're going to check with, and so that would then solve the issue of streaming and then also recording and putting it up for people. Is that a requirement when you have city hosted? I mean, we're co-hosting, so.
Yeah, so I guess that's the question. Like there's open records, or sorry, like there's record retention and like open meetings requirements that the city will have to follow. So that's why I was asking to clarify, like, is this like a CRT event that like we're invited to, or are is the community engagement subcommittee vi envisioning this as like a joint venture between OIM and CRT?
I'm open to either. I don't know what, if it makes it more complicated for you all, for the city to be co-hosting officially, then we can go with just CRT. But if it actually opens up channels to reach more people, if the city is a co-host, then that might be the better choice. So,
I
are you
mean,
confused?
we'll have to post a notice of possible quorum either way. So, I mean, like, I think it would be best if, OIM just handles it like we've done CLSs in the past. But, like, we'll, obviously be doing it at the Wilmar, and we can, like, set up with the hybrid. I think that that would actually be, like, simpler. I'm sorry. I just noticed my video's not on.
Sorry about that.
No worries. Sorry, I
Greg,
just
I
want
want
to
to
get.
get to Greg quick because his hand's been up. Greg.
Actually, they covered it all in the conversation.
Okay. Just
Yes,
wanted to make
Zoom,
sure.
yes, record. Yes, post notice of notice of possible quorum, etc.
Michelle.
Can we add on the to, like to do list to I mean, just like the community listening sessions, like news.
You cut out, so I did not hear what you said.
Like the community listening sessions, can we post this as a news release on the city website? Okay,
Yep.
and I did an email today with Amelia, and Chioma was on it, but I now know Chioma's out sick. So, but I did ask if Chioma could put a calendar hold, send it out so we could kind of gauge, what board members would be interested, so we would know if there was quorum or not, but also too, kind of like Amelia asked, and I don't want to put anyone on the spot, but I know I'm going and Greg's going. It's October 22nd, so Robin, Rodney, or Michelle, do you have any interest? Because I know Amelia names names, and don't feel like you have to. If not, we can get another communication out. So you, Robin, you said you're a yay.
Yeah, tentative, yes. Just waiting
Tentative, yeah.
on. I should know by tomorrow afternoon, so I'll let Amelia know.
Okay.
I'm also tentative. I have another meeting right in the middle of when that's scheduled.
And sorry for the repetition, but what time frame again?
It's six. It's a Wednesday, October 22nd, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m.
I can be there.
Okay. So Amelia, you have myself, Greg, Michelle, and you have Robin as tentative.
Wonderful. Michelle, would you mind emailing me a photo, your favorite photo of yourself, a photo you'd like on the graphic of
Sure.
yourself? Okay. And I'm not sure if you have my email, but Devin does. So.
I can give you, I'll give you, send Emilio's email to you, Michelle.
Okay, thank you.
And then kind of I want to touch base of kind of the topics that Amelia brought up, and I just wanted to make sure if there was any other topics that we felt like we should add. So, additionally talking about what the PCOB is, OIM, the subcommittees, the complaint process, kind of the expectations of the complaint process. Trying to think, am I missing anything else, Amelia?
I think how to attend a meeting,
Okay.
and where to look, for those notifications. And I think that's maybe we should just also have how to get involved, if somebody wants to be nominated, have that information as well.
Like that.
And then if you all want to figure out which ones you want to, which questions you want to answer on that list, or maybe, yeah, just if you want to decide who wants to answer those on that list, that would be great. And then if then we're just prepared and we can go right down really quickly and then get to the open discussion.
Sounds good. Michelle?
I don't know if this makes sense for a hybrid meeting, but it might be nice to have like that visual flow chart we've been spending time making on like how the board and the independent monitor and all the subcommittees interact and flow with each other. I think that's a really helpful tool to understand it all.
No, I think that's a great point. When we are, you know, presenting the subcommittees, I think we should have that visual up, because I know me personally, I'm a visual person, and I think, you know, that diagram does justice of explaining the intricate systems and how everything kind of works, and we have that kind of feedback loop between the OIM, the board, the subcommittees. Amelia.
Would you, so I'm not sure what Wilmar's capability is for projection. I don't remember if we've ever projected anything there, but I'm wondering if in our last meeting when Robin and Greg presented on the annual report, we had packets at the front of the room that people could take with them of, you know, describing what the OIM does, the PCOB does, how to file a complaint form. We could add this visual aid that you're talking about so that everybody has it, unless you would like to have projection. I can find out if they have that capability.
I don't know. I think the packets are actually nice too. I'm fine with that. I didn't know you guys did that for the last one. And I think having the kind of people having their individual booklet that they can reference, you know, as they go, or, you know, look back at.
Okay. Okay, great.
And I guess in the past, when I guess Robin or Greg, because we've had these packets, how were those packets made? Like, who did that?
I actually put those together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I know. That's something that the CRT has been doing. People have been getting in touch with us about how to file, or an incident that's occurred. And we sort of just help guide them, you know, these are your options. These are the different people you can file complaints with. This is where it goes, you know, once you file the complaint. We are strong advocates of taking complaints to the OIM and the PCOB, and this is how you do it. So I have just the paper. I have all of that on paper when I meet with families. And so we can just have those there. That's just something that the CRT is doing.
That's good. Does this other subcommittee members feel like adding, us providing that visual to Amelia to add to the packet kind of that she already has would be beneficial?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Okay, sounds good. All right, I'm gonna write that down as this for me. I will get that visual over to you, Amelia. So you have it as a reference.
Thank you. And Devin, is this something that that the council that you guys are able to, like, is there any way for the city to share this? I don't know what gets sent out from the city and what doesn't in terms of bulletins, but is it something that, you know, any which way the city might be sending out notices to residents, is this something that the city can do that with?
Robin.
Yes, Amelia. So this would be a hybrid meeting, so it would fall under open meetings law. So the city would be, this would go up actually on like the meeting schedule on the website as well, in addition to being posted at City Hall. Additionally, like, I believe that we were doing a press release for each CLS. I would have to go back and check on that. But either way, like as Dylan was covering, Chioma has gotten linked into like advertising essentially through the city website and through the city's social media. So like we'll absolutely get that posted and we'll get a link up, on the website so that everybody can share that around.
And what should we make sure that I want to make sure our what we're calling it on the graphic is the same as what you will be calling it in your bulletin. What are you calling these meetings?
Community listening session,
Okay.
like hosted by OIM or PCOB,
Okay.
but like the name of it would be like this is a community listening session.
Okay. All right, great. I'll change that on the graphic. Excellent.
Good. No. Thank you, Amelia, for partnering with us. I appreciate, like I've told you, always tell you, I appreciate that all that you do, and I look forward to co-hosting this event with CRT.
Thank you so much, Devin, and thank you for everything you all are doing as well.
Thank you. Is there any other discussions or questions that people might have for Amelia while we're on this topic? All right. Well, that was the last agenda item for the night. Does anyone want to entertain an adjournment? Rodney?
I move that we adjourn.
Michelle?
I second.
Right. Being that there's no objections, this passes to adjourn the meeting. This meeting's adjourned. Have a good rest of your Thursday, everybody.